Recordings has started.
Great. Thank you, Marie. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the 17 for Sunrise registration call on the 19th of May, 2017, 1400 UTC. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio, would you please let yourself be known now? I know we have Christine Durain. Hearing no further names, I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, you may begin.
Thanks very much, Michelle, and this is Mary from staff. Since Lori, our chair, is not here today, I would like to ask if any one of the sub-team members who are on this call would like to take over the chairing duties. Please don't be shy. Going once, twice. If no one would like to do the chairing, I hope it's all right with you then if staff tries to facilitate this discussion. And we can kick it off by noting that what you see in the Adobe chat, if you're in Adobe, and of course if you have the link to the latest Google Doc, is staff has updated the document that we were using last week. And for purposes of our discussion today, I think the more significant columns to focus on would be the column that's the third from left, which is titled Proposed Final Updates or Refinements Made by the Subteam. You see from the numbering within that column the, you know, final number and possible final form of the questions, subject to the comments that Maxime and others have made and any other changes we'd like to make. So my suggestion is that we focus on that column. But the other column to note is that we were also asked to fill in where there had been previous sub-team discussion on the need for data collection. And you may recall that that discussion actually took place when we had somewhat different versions of some of the questions. So for record-keeping purposes, I'd just like to say that we've tried our best to do that as far as possible, but there may still be areas where either you might like to update it because we've changed the form of the question, or indeed there may be certain questions that we actually haven't looked at in detail, so we might need to look at both the form of those questions as well as data for those. And I see that there's some chat going on in Adobe, but that I think mostly is about formatting the Adobe display to show the comments. And Maxime, like I said earlier, we'll try our best to try and make it as visible as possible for the next time. While we're doing that, I think Amma's taking care of that. If we can just look at the third column, and what we've done here, as you see, is that we've indicated where there was a change from the original charter questions we started with, or where those were changed or reworded. And we did this, again, on the sub-team's instruction so that when we go back to the full working group, we would probably have a document that has in one column the original charter questions, in another column something like this that shows the change and that has an explanation accompanying it if necessary, as well as the data collection column. So can I ask for any, we're actually going to get a new document from Amr, so it will just hold on 10 seconds or so. And we see that we've got the document up and possibly with comments added. Christine, we're talking about, I think right now we're going to start talking about proposed final question one, which has not been changed from the original charter, and that reads, should the availability of Sunrise registrations only for identical matches be reviewed? In light of some of the discussion in the broader working group, is this something that this sub-team for Sunrise would like to discuss And noting also that in our previous discussion, we had said that there doesn't seem to be a need for any additional data on this question at this point. Any comments or questions from sub-team members on the call?
Mary, this is Christine. May I speak?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I support leaving the question in. I think that we've in both the trade, in both the Sunrise and the claims working groups, we've kind of gone round and round about what to do if a question is kind of asked and answered by the time we get there. And I think the working group is smart enough to know that if they've already answered a question. So I think we should leave it in there. And if it just so happens that the working group answers that question before we actually get to the specific discussion of Sunrise, then we can just check it off at that time.
Thanks very much, Christine. And I see that Griffin is agreeing with you in the chat to leave the question as is. Is there anyone else on the call who has a comment or who objects to leaving this in? And again, noting that we are not recommending any additional data collection for this question. Okay, that seems straightforward enough, and I should note at this point that what we will do after this call is obviously take all this back to the mailing list for the sub-team so that anyone who's not on the call today but wants to chime in can do so hopefully within the next week. So we move on to question two. You see that this is reworded from what we had originally, and not only that, it's reworded from some three or four questions that were batched together by the sub-team. So as reworded, and since Christine's on the phone, I'll read it. The new question two now says, does a registry operator's pricing scheme, either regular Sunrise pricing or the use of premium pricing tiers, does that have a chilling effect on a brand owner's access to Sunrise? That's the overall question, and there are three bullet points or sub-questions under this question about whether pricing schemes, either regular or premium, have a chilling effect on access to Sunrise by brand owners. The first bullet point talks about whether what data exists to support the allegations. Secondly, is there a tipping point? And thirdly, if there is indeed a chilling effect, how can it be mitigated? Christine, I think this was something that was suggested by you, or at least significantly changed from the original because of some comments that you and others had had. And I see that, Maxime, you have a question in the chat as to whether or not ICANN has the right to regulate prices. Do we have comments from anyone either on the reworded question or on Maxime's question?
This is Chris. I don't think that the comment as worded, I have maybe look at it one more time. I don't think it suggests price regulation. I think the question is we're trying to just determine impact at this point. Do pricing schemes, are they having a significant negative impact or not? People are saying it does. Some people are saying it doesn't. I think it's a worthwhile question. I agree with Maxine that ICANN doesn't have the right to regulate pricing, but there may be some other mechanisms by which Sunrise or, you know, some of these features can be modified to avoid the situations where some registrars may be, or registry operators may be, making it harder for some brands to participate. So I think it's worth discussing, and I think the wording is fairly open to that discussion at this point.
Thanks, Christine. And again, I note that Griffin has agreed with you in terms of leaving the question in and the reasons. In terms of the question of price regulation, it may be that, you know, as the working group as a whole begins or goes through the review of this question and the sub-questions, particularly in relation to if there is some kind of detrimental effect, what kind of, you know, mitigation means there might be, this question of controlling or regulating or managing pricing may be something that surfaces then. So there's comments from Maxim in the chat about, again, the right to regulate prices. And you're right, Maxim, you know, that, you know, to the extent that certain things are outside ICANN's remit or authority, then there's no real point in having a particular policy that can't be implemented. But I think what Christine and Griffin and others are saying is that at this point, this is not what the question is trying to get at, and it is not something that we need to include at this point either. And I see that Kathy has joined us. Welcome, Kathy. This is Mary from staff. And as you see, we have a few sub-team members who have joined us, including Christine Doreen, who's on audio but not in the chat. And what we're doing is we're going through the third column, which is the refined or reworded questions, to see if there's any additional comments or changes that we might need to make. Then on question two, and again, we'll take this back to the full mailing list. On the question of data, there were some comments about whether we might need more examples at least. And this was a suggestion that was made. Do we need to put out a call for more examples? There was a note, I think, from last week's discussion that this may be something that we can look at again depending on the results from the INTA survey. And as Lori has noted, the hope is to release that survey result to the public, including our group, shortly. And this is something we can follow up with her on. At this moment, I'm not sure if there's anything else that the sub-team needs to do about that except to continue with that note. Are there any comments from anyone on question two, and on whether we need any additional data or examples for question two as reworded? If not, then the final thing I'll note about question is that, yes, go ahead, Christine.
I'm sorry, it took me a second to get off mute, and I'm pulling into the garage, so I hope I do not lose you. I'm thinking a little bit more about Maxine's concern, and I do agree that pricing regulation is not within ICANN's remit. And so I wonder if Maxine's troubled by the suggestion that the only problem is pricing. I wonder if what the group thinks of making the wording in that question, even taking it up one more notch. If we say practices by registry operators are limiting access to the RPMs, and those practices could include things other than pricing, if there are, in fact, such practices, I'm not sure. What does the group have any appetite to think about that at all? Or do you, I mean, I think we all know that there are complaints about pricing. That's one of the actual complaints we have. Thoughts about that?
Thank you, Christine. Are there any comments from anyone else on the call or in Adobe?
It's Maxim. Also about the
yes, Maxim, please go ahead.
I think we might need to reword the question too, to say, like, was it the price the only reason for non-registration during the sunrise, or was it affected by something else, or prices and something else? So we understand, for example, it's 10% of those who answer say, yes, the prices were too high, it was the sole reason for non-registration, or like 30% say it was pricing and something else, and like rest of it say we don't know. I think we might need to reword the question.
Thank you, Maxime. And just to make sure that we captured your and Christine's suggestions, it sounds like to a certain extent, both of you are making a similar suggestion, and what Christine was saying was rather than just focusing on pricing, we use pricing as one example of a registry operator's practice that might either have prevented or in some way hindered a brand owner or trademark holder from using sunrise either at all or, you know, as much as they would have liked. I see that Arma has his hand up, so while folks think about that, and Christine, I'm going to ask if you have a response to that. I'll go to Arma first. Arma?
Thanks, Mary. This is Arma. Apologies in advance for any background noise in my line. I agree with Maxime's last comment. I think that might be a practical way forward for the sub-team. I just wanted to remind folks, and particularly I think in response to Christine's last comment on sort of changing the question in a way that where it doesn't so much affect pricing. Apologies if I misunderstood the comment, but that's how I did understand it. Let's not forget that the reworded question two here was a consolidation of three of the original charter questions that are highlighted in yellow. Two of them concern premium names, and the third one, which is down, I think, on page four, the original charter question eight, which was specifically meant to address pricing practices in Sunrise. So I would be hesitant in sort of taking that out because this was a charter question and the working group does need to address it at some point. But it is, of course, up to the working group to determine how to address it. So I don't think there is any sort of pre-formulated condition that, you know, the PDP does have to say that pricing or I can need to regulate pricing in one way or another. But I think it is pertinent to sort of make sure that it is addressed. That sub-team does sort of keep the spirit of the original question in the reworded one and have the full working group address it. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. And I noticed that Kathy had her hand up, but she seems to have dropped out of Adobe. So, Amr, if I may, I'll just follow up by saying that as a reminder to the group, that's correct, that the original charter questions that were batched really focused on the pricing question, including premium pricing, and as the sub-team noted, that's different from premium names. And there is a sort of outstanding action item for the sub-team to come up with a set of definitions for these different terms. That said, if the sub-team feels that there are, you know, relevant gaps that haven't been fully addressed, then this would be the time to suggest them. Would Kathy or Christine like to speak to this particular topic?
Yeah, this is Kathy. I'd be happy to wait for Christine.
Thank you. I think this is Christine again. I understand Armour's point, and I think that it's right. I don't think we want to eliminate the examples from the discussion. Certainly, these are the anecdotes that have been submitted, and certainly these are the things that brand owners have already said are a known problem. And I do apologize for background noise. I'm at Starbucks. But I do also want to be sensitive to the fact that there may be other things. We've tried many places to not suggest what the problem is or not suggest the answer. And there may be that brand owners, as Maxime pointed out, that found pricing to be one concern, but maybe there are other concerns as well. So I think that leaving those anecdotes in and saying, yeah, these are the things brand owners have already identified, but also leaving the door open to not assuming that it was only pricing that limited some brand owners' ability to participate. Thanks,
Christine. And before I go to Kathy, I'll note that in addition to some chat that's going on in Adobe, Griffin had suggested that what we could also do to address the same thing that I think we're all talking about, which is there is pricing, there are pricing concerns, but there might be broader causes related that don't necessarily have to do with pricing. Griffin's suggestion had been to add another sub-question, so that would be a fourth bullet point, saying something along the lines of, were there other registry practices other than pricing that chilled brand owner participation in Sunrise? So I'm just reading that into the record, and staff will, of course, capture that. Kathy?
Although that may take us far afield of rights protection mechanisms. So just my initial thought on that. We do have to stick. let's see if we can bound that question as within the scope of the RPMs, please. Okay, my question
Kathy,
has to do,
Kathy, this is Mary. Just to say that a few folks are having trouble hearing you because you seem to be cutting in and out, although the sound seems to be improving. So if you don't mind just repeating what you said a little earlier and then going to your other point.
Okay, with the modification that's just been put in, it seems like you – could you read that question again? Obviously, I'm in the queue to respond to something else. First, can you hear me? Clearly, I'm having some technical problems. And second, could you read that question again?
Sure, Kathy. And, yes, we can hear you better now, I think, and I think others are agreeing. By reading the question again, did you mean the – reformulation from Christine and Maxime or Griffin's sub-question?
The sub-question.
Okay. So Griffin's suggested sub-question would keep the rewording mostly intact and add a fourth bullet point that essentially says, were there other registry practices other than pricing that chilled brand owner participation in Sunrise?
Okay. Good. Let's take a look at that and turn that around to the subgroup. My question has to do with question one, and I'm sorry for coming in late. But question one, is that really the question that we're proposing to go to the working group first? Let me pause for that.
Hi, Kathy. This is Mary from staff. I think in terms of chronology, that's a good point. It may really be something that this sub-team, when we get to the end of the list of questions, might want to take a step back and consider what would make sense in terms of the sequential order of the questions. I think at the moment, they're ordered the way they are because that's the way they started to appear in the original charter or because they were batched. And I think when we batched them, we simply combined them and put them into the first appeared question. So the chronology issue may well be something to address.
Okay, because I think we really need to look at question one in conjunction with, and we'll have to go down at least question 18 and other questions. Any question about the matching of a word in Sunrise with something someone might want, like a registrant. All of those questions should be put together because if we look at what we do with the first trademark claims question, it's really should we expand it, should we keep it the same, should we expand it, should we cut it? And one would think that it's the same question in Sunrise. Do we expand it, do we cut it and minimize it, do we eliminate it? All those questions have been raised regarding Sunrise as well. So I just want to make sure those get reflected right at the top and that we batch together anything looking at the nature of the match. And we have questions about categories of goods and services. Or we have questions about chilling effects on registrants. All of those should be put together. And if it's going to be number one, then they should all be right up front in number one. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. And just a note for everyone that the question 18 and the other questions down below are questions that were categorized in the charter not specific to any RPM. And what we had agreed to do as a sub-team was that, you know, once we looked at the specific RPM questions, to take a look at the general questions to see if some of those elements might need to be added to our question. Even if we don't edit the specific RPM questions accordingly, I think the idea is that in going through the RPM reviews, the working group would always bear in mind those general questions, and it would be our role, including the staff role, to point out to the working group where there are indeed these, similarities or similar concerns that go across different RPMs. Kathy, I know that Jeff says he has to drop, but he did have a question.
Also, I'm not sure.
Jeff had a question. So, Kathy, is your suggestion that we add 13 and 18, or we simply add a note to question one that this is something that it is raised by general questions 13 and 18. Kathy?
My question first is a concern that we appear to have removed any questions about chilling effects on registrants. All the chilling effects appear to be about trademark owners right now. So we need to add that back in, and that number one to generally be a question about chilling effects, about the impact of matches on both sides, on registrants and trademark owners, and combine it with anything relevant in our list of questions, which would probably include 13 and 18.
Thanks, Kathy. Just thinking out loud here, because question one, and again, it may not remain question one and in any kind of logical sequence, but question one really is essentially the same charter question that's specific to Sunrise that was in the charter, and it talks about reviewing the identical match question. It seems that you're speaking to a much broader topic of registrant rights and protection. So I'm just wondering if it may make sense, rather than combining it with question one, to have a question at the end of the Sunrise questions. And I would say we keep with the 12 questions that we now have, that would probably be a new question 13 that covers the concerns that you've just identified, in the sense that it would now, you know, focus on the registrant and the user, rather than try to combine something into question one that is a very specific question and was in the charter.
Okay, I'm going to go back. Things seem to be missing from this version, and the whole impact of the whole Sunrise on registrants appears to be minimized. So I think we have to go back and put back in the whole concept of chilling effects on registrants and where that comes in. I'm not sure how we do it, but I think it needs to be done. I think somehow it's dropped out of this version, that whole balance concept. And so before we get to identical matches, we need the data on both sides. What's happening with the current matches, with these fact matches, and what's the impact? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kathy. So why don't we take it as an action item for the sub-team to consider whether and how question one could be reworded, and or if there's some other way that we can fold in more expressly and specifically a concern about the potential chilling effects on registrants as well. And I'm not phrasing it as well as you did, but we can go back to the transcript and pull that part out. So it could be a homework item for the sub-team to take a look again at question one, and also more generally to make sure that our final list of questions reflects concerns not just of trademark owners, but also of registrants. So I think that's been captured in the notes. One suggestion is for Kathy, if you could provide, to kick us off in our homework item, suggested wording or language to the list so that we can have this be discussed before we do our next call, that would be greatly appreciated. So that was Kathy's question on question one, and like I said, we're taking that as a homework action item, looking more generally at balancing these questions with registrants' rights as well. We've discussed question two, and there is now a further consideration, again, a sub-team homework, with broadening it beyond just pricing practices, and there's been a few suggestions to that effect. Christine, welcome to Adobe, and I see you've got your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm still going to keep my dial-up connection, so it might take me a second to get on and off mute. This is Christine again, for the record. I wanted to respond a little bit to what Kathy was saying. I understand where she's coming from here, and I was just skimming the questions now that I'm actually in the chat, and they are really, I think, it looks like the questions were primarily generated by people using the Sunrise system, so brand owners. And so they have used this opportunity to identify pain points for them, and their participation in Sunrise. And I think Kathy's right, there isn't an express discussion of the impact or the other side on registrants. I'm wondering if we need to, going back to sort of your suggestion, Mary, about the general impact, I don't think it's actually going to solve the problem to have one question addressing registrants. I mean, I'm skimming through the list of questions, and for each question, it should be worded enough. Are the sunrise periods, I jumped ahead to 7/6. Are the sunrise periods is typically implemented having their intended effect? What are they doing that's making sunrise more or less effective? I mean, I think the implication, and maybe we need to write it out expressly, is not only what is the effect on the brand owner, but what is the effect on registrants? I think every question needs to have that balanced response. So even when we say, does a registry operator's pricing scheme have a chilling effect on a brand owner's access to sunrise? I mean, perhaps the answer is, and what is the effect to registrants? Is there any effect to registrants? I think we probably serve ourselves better by keeping that in mind on every question than having one specific question dedicated just to the registrants. I think the registrants need to be part of the conversation throughout.
Thanks very much, Christine. And that probably is a much more sensible suggestion. So maybe what we can do is have a general note, as you say, for all the charter quests that we are going to be suggesting, to say for each, consider the effects on registrants as well as on brand owners. I think that's what you're suggesting. And that may be actually a simpler or more straightforward way to address a very important general concern. Christine?
Yeah, I just wanted, I thought Kathy might have been on phone only, and I wanted to invite her reaction because I'm trying to address, you know, her specific point.
This is Kathy.
Thanks,
Christine. It sounds good. I am, when we get down to 7 and others, I do have more questions, and I guess I must have missed a version or two of this document, which I apologize for. But yes, that balance on every question, I think it'll be more relevant on some than on others. I agree with what you said, and thank you. And also, I think we should go through the original charter questions and see if we've captured, some of them do come from the registrant communities, from the non-commercial communities, and the entrepreneur communities. So let's go back through one more time and see if we've lost something that they really wanted in some of this rewording. So absolutely the balance, and then just to see if we've lost anything. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. And I'm going to ask Amar, because he's done a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of the last few versions. I think that this version does have the original questions, but we also had a version before this that actually showed all of them as well as the comments. So to take Kathy's suggestion, and I see Amar has agreed in the chat. To take Kathy's suggestion, again, this may be homework for the sub-team, to take a look at previous versions of the document to make sure that all those charter questions were discussed. I think going from my and Amar's recollection, this was part of the batching and rewording discussion. So to the extent that the sub-team, in going through the original and comparing them to the final, feels that something got dropped inadvertently, then that should be identified, preferably before the next call, so there can be addressed on the next call. And Christine, to answer your question, I think Amar's actually typing in the chat. I believe that is correct. The leftmost column is the list of the original charter questions. And the third column that we're looking at on this call is the proposed final sub-questions that basically would be fewer because a number of the original questions have been batched. I hope that's helpful. So maybe we can move to what we've relabeled as question three in the third column, and that is reworded, and it's reworded from a previous version that batched questions five and six together. And as reworded, we're talking about a question that now says, with what frequency is a reserve name also registered in the Trademark Clearinghouse? Is this having a chilling effect on participation of brand owners in Sunrise? And again, here with a reminder that we have outstanding homework about reserve names, premium names, and so forth in terms of needing to define it. Comments and questions on this reworded question three?
Yeah, this is Kathy.
And go ahead, Kathy.
I just did the original question. I apologize. I feel like I missed something, but I don't think I missed any of these conversations, so I apologize. Where does what does it mean, a chilling effect on the participation of brand owners in the Sunrise RPM?
Thanks for the question, Kathy. I see a few people typing in the chat. And Christine has her hand raised. Christine, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine. I can answer the, I guess, technical part of it, which is, of course, if a domain name, if there are registry operators who in practice look at, you know, records of brands that are, you know, valuable or that, that people may want, and then maybe especially where the brand owner is has, you know, arguably deep pockets, there are allegations that some registry operators will put all of those brands and on their reserve names list so that they are not eligible, they're not available during the Sunrise period for registration because they're on the reserve names list. Then after the Sunrise period is over, those domain names will be released to the public, to the highest bidder, for, I don't know, let's just go with $10,000. This is the allegation to address Maxim's comment about supporting information. They think that would be a very good question to have, and I'm not, to be very clear, as a registry operator, I'm making this statement with a raised eyebrow, but these are the allegations. And then what's happening is that the brand owners are basically being forced to pay very high premium prices for their domain names rather than acquiring them during Sunrise. I believe that is the point that this question is trying to get at, and I think Maxim makes an excellent point that it would be wonderful if we could have some specifics as far as how often this is actually happening, if at all. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. And I'll note that there's been some conversation in the chat as well. So let me make a couple of points, and then, Kathy, if you want to follow up, I'm happy to go to you. First of all, Griffin is saying in the chat that maybe using terminology like chilling effect in the second part of this question may not be the most precise way of describing what we're getting at. And Christine, I know you've just described what we're trying to get at here. Chris, Griffin's comment is that we're really trying to get at whether there's reserve names that match marks recorded in the TMCH circumvents Sunrise when the reserve name is released after Sunrise. So the suggestion is presumably that for the second part of this question, it gets reworded to make sure that we're talking about circumvention. The second point to note here is that we are talking about a two-part question, and I think the point about examples and data and anecdotes that Maxime and Christine were mentioning goes to the first part of the question about whether we can tell what frequency a reserve name is also registered in the TMCH. And on this point, the last thing that I'll say, and then I'll hand it over to Maxime, you've got your hand up, and Kathy, I know you're on the phone, if you want to get back in. I believe this topic, the initial questions, the batching, the rewording, was the subject of quite substantial conversation in the sub-team, including, I think, some comments on previous versions on this document. So basically what we have here is a reworded batched question in two parts, and we seem to be talking about both at this point. Maxine, before I go to you, I'm going to ask Kathy if you have a follow-up, Kathy.
Sure, although I'm happy to wait for Maxine.
Okay. Why don't we go to Maxime, and then Kathy will come back to you. Maxime, please go ahead.
Maxime Alzoba, for the record. I'd like to underline that when we talk about circumvention of TMCH, we shouldn't forget that due to poor design of APL, this alternative way to implement policies for geos, we need to understand that in the current structure of AGB rules, advanced guidebook, the applicant's guidebook, GOTLDs have no other way to hand names to a municipal entity or wholly owned subsidiaries of the city without using reserved names. And it's not circumvention for Sunrise, because trademark police doesn't have more rights in Moscow for police name than the police department of Moscow, because actually it existed before the trademark law implemented currently. So we should not forget about it, because the questions of QLP and reserve names for GOTLDs, they come together. If you change the current way reserved list works, then GEOs will lose its ability to properly provide service to cities. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Maxime. And one note that I'll add here is that we, in this sub-team, we haven't talked a whole lot about the specific questions on the AL, the approved launch programs and the qualified launch programs. I'll note also that you have been very helpful in making comments and notes for us about GOTLDs especially, and some of the concerns that they might specifically have or challenges. You'd also noted previously some issues with the release of reserve names. So what seems to be the question here in the reworded question three isn't so much, as I read it, talking about changing the practice of reserve names or regulating how that's done, but really trying to see what the effect the practices have on brand owner participation, given a match in some cases between what's a reserve and what's in the TMCH. So maybe this needs to be reworked a little bit, possibly to note that certain kinds of TLDs may have different challenges and different reasons for having a reserve name list compared to others. So this may well be a homework item. And I see there's some comments in the chat. So this may be something, again, that we need to look at. And at this point, I'll go back to Kathy.
Yeah, several things. First, I don't understand the word chilling effect. It's used twice in this question, and I don't understand it, and I think it will introduce ambiguity. I think it was Christine who rephrased it, and I apologize, there's lots of noise in behind my house right now. Somebody's shredding a tree. So it's hard to hear. But it seems like there are much simpler ways to phrase this, such as, are premium names interfering with a trademark owner's ability to register their, let's use the word brand for simplicity, their brand during the Sunrise period, their brand, parentheses, as registered in the Trademark Clearinghouse. Then, to layer Maxine's question on top of it, might there be reasons why this has been created? So, Maxine, and tell me if I've got this right, an example, a hypothetical example of that might be police. So police is a rock band. They could easily be in the TMCH. But New York City might want police.nyc to be the New York TV. And so they might want to reserve that or put that on the premium list or put an anchor tenant in that is not the trademark owner, but is the literal descriptive word in their context. So, I would really rewrite this because I think we're going to wind up, because I think it will help And then I don't know what the tipping, I don't know what tipping point means. And again, I don't know what chilling effect means in its second use and how can it be mitigated. The question is, are premium names, and I think the same question applies to reserve names in some cases, although those are supposed to be purely operational names, but are premium names and reserve names keeping trademark owners? Is there any proof that it's keeping trademark owners from registering the names that they want? And if so, are there reasons for this? And what do we do to balance both sides, I think, to circle all the way back to Christine's question about balance and looking at both sides. And in this case, it's not as much registrants that we're balancing as perhaps registries. Does any of that make sense? Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. And you know, I noticed that you said premium names. Actually, we're talking about reserve names, but I think you are also looking back at question two, which was about pricing, although we might now expand it beyond pricing. And you're right that question two uses the word chilling effect in relation to pricing. And this reworded question three that we're discussing uses also the term chilling effect in relation to reserve names. So the two questions that are reworked try to get to different types of practices. One's a premium, one is about pricing, the other is about reserve name practices and the effect that each has on brand owner participation in Sunrise. So perhaps for now we need to, again, relook at these things, but hopefully we have a common understanding of what each question is trying to get at. And on this point, I should note that we have 9 minutes left to go. We do actually have 12 proposed questions, and it seems to me that we may need to do a lot of work in the next week or two on the mailing list because the co-chairs of the working group have requested staff to let both sub-teams know that the 31st of May should really be the last day for submitting the final proposed questions. So I don't know if for those on the call, it would be helpful for us to have this substantive discussion on these three questions noted. And for the remaining, either we can continue and have a thorough discussion as much as we can on each and see as far as we go and pick up from next week, versus just running through the last few questions to make sure that we know what they are. Is there any preference? Should we just keep going? And I see a discussion about geo and non-geo names in the chat. Christine, please go ahead.
I prefer just a quick run through for my own personal reminder of, and then anyone else who wants to use the chat in the next few minutes to jump in, and then maybe we can finish on the list. That's my vote.
Thanks very much, Christine, and I don't see anyone objecting to that. And you know, one advantage of doing it that way is that we do make sure that we all remind one another and ourselves of what we have left to discuss. And as we mentioned earlier, some of these questions probably had less discussion up to now than previously. So the next question, question four, actually is just a slight rewording from the original question, and we're talking about basically having a public list of reserve names. And the reworded question is whether each registry should be asked to publish a list of words on their reserve names list that are also in the trademark clearinghouse. There's a comment from Maxime who believes that this may not be implementable because of the rules of access to the trademark clearinghouse by registry. So, Maxime, I think what you're saying is that it's not possible or not easy for each registry to say, okay, this is our reserve name list that matches what's in the trademark clearinghouse. Question five, going on, there's a slight edit to the original question. So again, this is not a major change, and it is about whether or not upon the release of a reserve name, holders of TMCH verified marks should have a right of first refusal. Maxime, you have a comment on this as well as on question four. So you've got your hand raised. Please go ahead and make your comment.
Maxime Alzoba, for the record. My comment is related to question four. Unfortunately, my previous comments I provided a few times about the potential implications of publishing of the reserve names list, because in our local league, we're prohibited from publishing profanity language. And since like 18 or 9,000 of records in our reserve list is profanity language for the single purpose of preventing this from being registered in our TLD, we will not be able to publish it. So it will vary a lot from registry to registry. And local law, I remind you, it prevails any policy genus or events. Thank you.
Thanks, Maxime. And I think we all do recall the comments that you provided. So maybe, you know, it would be helpful, again, because we want to get to a point where we're able to send final questions back to the full working group, if we could focus as a sub-team, especially those of us who have spotted particular issues with the way the questions are worded, to come up with suggested language for editing the questions. So I'm going to suggest that we take that as a homework item, that we look not just at whether the original charter questions have all been sufficiently incorporated, but also at whether the reworded questions, if they don't address a practical challenge that in your experience you've identified, please suggest how the rewording should be further reworded or the question changed. And with 4 minutes left, I'll note here that we do have a few more questions to go. The next question is question six, but before I look at that, I will note again that there are some questions that we haven't as a sub-team really discussed very much. Reworded question six isn't really one of them, but I think that reworded question six could lead to some discussion that hopefully we can do on the list. The rewording seems to be to try to align the subject of the question, which about continuing with mandatory sunrise, aligning it more with the language and the approach of the rest of the working group and the sub-team. So I'm going to ask that folks take a look at reworded question six, which talks about the intended effect, the effectiveness of sunrise, especially in view of our discussion on questions two and three today. We've also got seven that we had discussed to some extent in the past about improving the transparency of sunrise procedures as well as communications about what they are. And one specific point that had been added here and that is in the bullet points is about the sunrise dispute resolution procedures, what's in the applicant guidebook versus what the TMCH has, and so a suggestion there that that be one of the specific things looked at. The other thing that we had talked about quite substantially in the sub-team was what is question 8 in the third column about the SMD file, and the question here is whether we still need this question given the information that's just been provided. Following that, we have a few questions on limited registration period, or the LRP, as well as the approved launch program and the qualified launch program. There have been comments on these questions in previous versions of the Google Doc, but as far as staff can recollect, these questions in terms of their wording have not actually been discussed. So again, we would suggest that the sub-team take a look at the specific language of these questions, especially these ones we haven't discussed very much, and suggest edits specifically to the language if they are needed. finally, in the last minute, we have actually two questions. One is which was deferred, and in question 11 before that is about limiting the scope of the RPMs associated with the trademark clearinghouse to the categories of goods and services in which the dictionary terms within the trademark are protected. And I'll note here that this is the rewording that was suggested by Susan Payne last week, and staff has put that in this column. So the question here is whether the sub-team agrees to this rewording. Then if we scroll further down the document, the last question that we had is question 12, and this talks about the balance of Sunrise as currently implemented. So again, this is something we haven't talked a lot about, meaning that this last question 12 and questions about limited registration periods, ALPs and QLPs, these are the topics that we haven't focused very much on as a sub-team. And so that's what we would suggest as staff to Lori and the team, is that for the next call that we try to focus more on these questions that we haven't looked very much at, and with the questions that we have looked substantially at to be discussed more on the mailing list rather than on a call, if that's all right with everyone. And I note that there's further discussion in the Adobe chat that's on quite a lot of substance, and of course we do publish these notes. Kathy, can I give you the final word before we end this call?
Sure, and thank you. Although I certainly welcome other people if there's time. I have this funny sense that I don't recognize what's going on here. I don't recognize many of these questions, and I've got it. And I'm confused as you're reading through whether we're talking about the question number that's on the left side or the right side. So, a quick question, and then I'll conclude with my other thought. Which question was it that Susan Payne rewrote that is now in here? What question were you referring to on that, please?
Sure. Kathy, the reworded suggestion from Susan Payne is what is labeled as question 11 in the third column from the left. So I believe that is on page 7 of the PDF document.
Okay.
And for the other questions, again, if staff has left anything out, please let us know, because in looking over all the previous versions and putting together this one, we believe that this one captures the initial question, how they were batched, as well as the latest wording that was suggested. But if we have left anything out, please point that out to us, and we will fix it.
Reworded question number 6 certainly leaves out most of what was intended. I believe that question number 7, we're using very ambiguous wording. I actually don't recognize many of the new questions, so I'm just going to raise a flag and say I'm concerned, because I don't see where a lot of this is flowing from the underlying question. To Christine's idea that we do have to balance, and to expand to Maxine's, we have to balance three groups: trademark owners, registries, and registrants, and consider them as relevant to all of the questions. But some of this rewording has introduced very ambiguous terms like chilling effects for trademark owners. Let's see if we can really drill down on what the questions are, what the concerns are with premium names and insert names. But I think the reworded questions may leave the field. Again, I don't recognize this document, so I'm a little confused. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. And I think what I will do is the staff will ask if there are indeed omissions, and what would be helpful is for sub-team members through the previous versions of these documents. And again, please tell us what we have left out and where, because otherwise we're not sure what was dropped. And Kathy, I know that you've said, can we circulate the current and last version? So Amma, I think what we can do is take it as an action item to put the links in for the email that will send us action items to all the versions of the document, perhaps in order, so that folks can look at how they've evolved. And of course, there's also transcripts of each call that can be matched to where we are on each version. Again, the request to please let us know what specifically was dropped that was supposed to be in this final document. Amr, you've raised your hand. I know we're 4 minutes past, so please go ahead, and then I think we should end this call. Amr?
Thanks, Mary. This is Amr. And just a quick reminder that the reason this table looks the way it does now is because last week the sub-team had decided that it wanted to have a table to report back to the full working group that shows the changes from when the sub-team began its work till the very end and what it was delivering. So that's why we sort of removed the previous iterations for the rewording and included the original charter questions in the column in the middle with the proposed final update refinements. Those were meant to be the final updates to the charter questions. And the column to the right of that with comments and discussions, the sub-team had agreed to repurpose this to include the rationale for the changes that were made. And so the whole idea is to sort of be able to report back to the full working group with one table on what the sub-team has done. But as requested, we will circulate all the previous iterations of this table so that the sub-team members could track this work across the different tables. I believe there were either three or four. I'll make sure we circulate those. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Amma. And before we close this call, again, I'll note that we do have quite a lot of homework, and hopefully we can take a lot of the discussion to the mailing list, especially on those questions where we already have had quite significant discussion over the past few weeks on calls, so that if Lori agrees, for the next call, we can start focusing on those questions that we haven't discussed to quite the same extent, and noting finally that the co-chairs of the working group have asked that we send the final proposed list by the 31st of May, and we're talking about less than 2 weeks' time. So thanks, everyone. We will send the action items for everyone to the mailing list as soon as possible. And on that note, Michelle, I think we can end this call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Mary. Operator, would you mind stopping the recordings for us and disconnect all the remaining lines? Have a wonderful day, everyone.